How are you?
My name is Noel, and it's great to be here again. I think the last time I was here, I spoke on killing your giants. And I want to say that I'm really encouraged by the topic of these weeks, because I guarantee you, these are not easy weeks in the sense of you're opening yourself up to God to change, and change is never easy, and change has many resistance. But I'm encouraged that you guys would place yourself before God and look at grave clothes, and look at Lazarus or Lazo. Funny enough, when you said that earlier on, I would have called him Lazo as well. He just fits in with the Dublin 8 whole thing, doesn't it? Anything in this area, any name gets a no put on the end of it. It's like, you know, it's just, over the north side, I think they put a Y at the end of it, but we put a no at the end of it. Hence, my nickname used to be Noel, and then they somehow mixed it up, and that's where it goes. But let's just, Father, I thank you that for each person, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your commitment to us, Father. And Lord, I ask that you would just somehow, Father, help me just narrow my thoughts into what you want to say, Father. Through your word, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Father. We love you, Lord. I ask that you would search us and know us. And if there's any restraints, any grave clothes on us, Father, that you would reveal them to us during this time, Lord, over these weeks. And some of us, Lord, that you would start us on the process of change. And even some these weeks, you would bring change to a closure in areas of our lives. We trust you, Lord. We give you our lives. We trust your gentle shepherd hands. Amen. Amen. You know, Lazarus, he is a tremendous character to look at and to study, and I've just loads of thoughts around him and around what you guys are studying. Hello. Well, just let me read some of the end of Lazarus' story. I take it that you know it, or if you don't, you can read it. He died. And Jesus was far off, and he gets news, and he comes down to meet him, and the sister meets him, and the other sister comes out, and Jesus makes a tremendous declaration during this passage. You know, John's gospel is all about the I am, the Jesus being the I am the way, I am the truth, I am the gate. You know, all of these great characteristics of the great I am, and Jesus was declaring by saying I am. He was declaring himself one of the same with God. The great I am that met Moses was the I am that was standing declaring before Abraham was, I am. And in this passage he says to the sister, I am the resurrection and the life. Just believe. So they bring him to where Lazarus was. Jesus says in verse 40, he says, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone because Jesus had asked them, take away the stone, he said. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up, put his full confidence in his Father. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of those standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. He named him, because if he would have said, just come out, everyone would have come out and been risen from the dead. The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And my few thoughts is around that our grave clothes are personal. We have a habit of, you know, like when you hear something coming from the pulpit or just something being said and you think, oh, that's for him over there. You know, and you're looking at his grave clothes or her grave clothes, but we all have grave clothes. And grave clothes are personal. They're your grave clothes, they're my grave clothes. Another thought about grave clothes, they have a beginning. That if you unwrapped Lazo over there, that you would see that bandage has a beginning. You can trace the beginning of the grave clothes that was wrapped around Lazarus. And you can trace the gravestones that maybe, I better look at me watch so I know the time. What time to finish? Grave clothes in our lives are restrictive. They're the things that cause us not to flow freely. They're constraints. That they don't let us get to where we need to get to, or where we desire to get to, or more importantly, where God wants us to get to. And not only are they restrictive, they're robbers. Because grave clothes, which could be a multitude of things in our lives, they can be pains, they can be hurts, they can be habits, they can be hang-ups. They can be things that can be traced back to words that were said, actions that were taken, failures that have happened. There's a whole plethora of things that these grave clothes can be aligned up to, but your grave clothes are personal to you. And my grave clothes are personal to me, but the one thing I know about grave clothes is that they're constraints and they're restrictive. And in fact, they end up robbing dreams and robbing potential of our lives. 20 years ago, I became a Christian. I became a Christian because God showed me his great love and his compassion. And I just lived up in the flats up the road, and I came from an area in Dottlesbourne where, you know, we just hung our grave clothes on the line for everyone to see. Everybody knew that they had gravestones or grave clothes, and you know, we were selling them. There was no one saying, go for it in life. There was no one saying, you're loved. There was no one saying, there's unlimited possibilities for your life. Dream your dreams. Write your books, sing your songs. There was nobody. But all we were saying were the opposite to those things. And everything that we've seen around us was like, I want to be like him. And our role models and heroes were people that you wouldn't desire to be with. Or you certainly wouldn't desire your children to be with, or your daughter or your son to go out with. And when my friend was telling me about Jesus, we used to smoke drugs together. He got clean. And he comes up to the community. And I'm telling you, this guy was like the equivalent of Lazarus walking around where he lived. That's your man that used to be dead. That's your man that Jesus called from the grave. This is how incredibly miraculous it was. He was once a heroin addict. And now he's walking around free. And not only is he walking around free, but he has a different talk. He's saying that Jesus is alive. We thought he was gone mad because we were comfortable in our grave clothes. We used to say to him, his name was Michael Finley, and his nickname was Finno. Lazo, no, Finno. We're out on the south side. And we used to say, Finno, you're gone out of your head. We used to say, look what drugs has done to poor Mick Finley. Well, we were all sitting around there to him. He used to tell everyone about Jesus. He became the most attractive person in our community. He was like light walking into a dark tomb. And he shared the Lord with me. I was one on the corner slagging him. And then one after another, up to about 30 or 40 of us started becoming Christians. Lazarus was calling Lazarus out of the grave. Men that had found bread to eat were telling other poor men where to find the bread to eat. And slowly we all used to sit up in the flat and fight him out singing songs. Up to 40 of us. Buying drugs one day with other people at tombs, and then walking up with a Bible in your hand up to a prayer meeting. God is wonderful. But this is what, when Finno said this to me, this is what caught my attention. I said, are you telling me that God loves me the way I am? With all my faults and failures and all my insecurities. And he says this to me, Noel, God loves you the way you are. But he loves you enough not to leave you the way you are. Isn't that incredible? He accepts us exactly where we're at tonight. But he loves us enough not to leave us exactly where we're at tonight. He loves us with all of our grave clothes. While we were yet sinners, while we were living her up in the tomb area, he loved us. but he loves us enough never to leave us where we're at. You know the thing about grave clothes I can tell you about? They're smelly. And you might get used to your own smell, but I want you to know other people smell your grave clothes. You may cover it up well with talk, clothes, lipstick, makeup, suits, education, gifts, talents, but they still smell. And someone has to press somewhere along the line on that grave cloth, and the manifestation of it comes out. You reach out, you run away, you put down, you put yourself down. Believe me, that they're going to manifest themselves somehow. And that's why Jesus says, come on, let's get these stinking clothes off of them, so that all that he is can no longer be under restriction. All that he is can no longer be wrapped up. And that's God's passion for us. Because wrapped up in each of our lives is the potential, the possibilities to do all incredible things for God. And if that incredible thing is giving loaves and fishes, it's incredible. If that incredible thing is writing a song, is teaching kids, is being the best solicitor in the office that you can be to bring God glory, wherever it may be, it is wrapped up in you. You know, Lazarus was in the graveyard. And if you go up to the graveyard and you look at names that's on tombstones, I want to tell you that there's so many tens of thousands that have died in their grave clothes before they ever died. They died with the potential still wrapped up in them. They died with the possibilities still inside of them. And I want to encourage you tonight and challenge you. Don't you dare die with your potential inside of you. Don't you dare, because my grandkids may need your potential to be realized. This city, this community, your family, your wife, your future husband, your future wife, they need you without your grave clothes. And as much as God has committed to us, I would encourage us to embark on a journey with God that says, okay, God, unwrap me. Here I am. Say amen. That means so be it. Thanks, brother. Let it be so. Because it's not easy to deal with grave clothes. It's not easy to allow God to deal with the restraints and the constraints that we place or have been placed or we allow in our lives. It is darn hard to have your heart healed. It is darn hard to allow God to unwrap the package of who we truly, really are. It's not easy. But he says, take off those clothes because they do not belong on Lazarus. Take off those grave clothes because they do not belong on Lazarus. The thing, there was one over his face. And Jesus said, take it off him. Because he's not going to be able to speak. He's not going to be able to testify. His voice would be robbed with that cloth wrapped around his face. And God is committed to us being successful. And here's Stephen Covey's definition of success. That you would find your voice and in turn enable others to find their voice. I want to be great. He said this is a definition of greatness. To find your voice. And to enable others to find theirs. Do you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to be great. In fact, I want to be like Muhammad Ali. I want to be the greatest. I want to find my voice. I want to find what heaven is echoing through my life. And not only do I want that, but I want to enable others in this community and in this city and in this nation and even the nations to help them find their voice. Go for greatness. So what's the story with gravestones? Here's my first thing. We all have gravestones, or grave clothes. Gravestone sounds much easier to say than grave clothes. We all have constraints. The difference is, are we going to live with our grave clothes? Or are we going to allow God to unwrap us? Are we going to step out into that unknown and saying, okay, God, I've lived with this. I've covered them up well. And now during these weeks, basically what's happened, Jesus is saying, move the stone and expose those grave clothes. Move the exterior so I can get at what's in the tomb. Get that out of the way. Get the shell, the covering, the things that we cover our grave clothes with. He said, move that stone so that I can get at what's inside the tombstone. Lazarus with his grave clothes. We all have them. The first point of freedom, or step to freedom, is to acknowledge you have something wrong. No one will ever be free from anything or move on to somewhere else in their lives unless they acknowledge. So if you know your constraints, I'm not saying go searching or have to find them. But if you're like me, they should come easily. That's my constraint. That's the very thing that stops me from moving on. Acknowledge that sucker. Acknowledge it. Yeah, I'm like everyone else. We've all fallen short. If you're alive and breathing, you have a constraint, or one or two. Second, you can't rise above the grave clothes or constraints that you don't or won't address. You will never, you can acknowledge that it's there, but you'll never rise above the constraint. You will never get rid of the grave clothes unless you are willing to actually address the issue of it. This is what it is. This is name it, claim it. It's yours. They're personal. But you will never rise above it unless you actually go about addressing it. I'll tell you one of my biggest fears in life. And if it's a constraint, God can show me. But my biggest fear in life is that I'll get to heaven. And that somehow I'll know by Jesus' face that I've wasted years. When I get to heaven, everything will be wiped away, tears and all that stuff. When I get there, I just don't want to say, you know what? Man, you walked around with them clothes for too long now. I don't even know whether he's going to have to say it, but I know it. You didn't address it. You had opportunities. You heard it being said. You know, when God is addressing grave clothes, I want to tell you, they speak about it on the radio. In church, they talk about it. You sit with a friend over coffee, you wouldn't believe what I'm dealing with. And all of a sudden, they're all talking about it. It's like God's voice is being heard everywhere. You pick up the word and you see it in the word. It's nearly like Jerry Ryan's talking about it. Someone comes on the Late Late Show, they're talking about it. It's like God, it's like, I want to deal with it. I want to get it off you. I want you to be freer. I want you to trust me. I want you to know that I love you enough not to leave you in that place. But it has to be addressed. It has to be addressed. I looked up when John was talking about the marriage deal that's coming up. You owe it. If you're married, you owe it to your wife or your husband to deal with it. To address it. You owe it to that person to be the best that you can be. If you're heading towards marriage or that's your future, you owe it to that person to not bring grave clothes in. And that's what happens. We all bring our grave clothes into marriage. And the manifestations of them. But we owe it to them. We owe it to our children that the cycle doesn't continue. It's absolutely incredibly important. That's why I said at the beginning, I am encouraged that you would put yourself under this subject. Our personal grave clothes or constraints play themselves out in every area of our lives. They manifest themselves. If they're a constraint that you want to move, you want to do something, you want to be involved somewhere, and it's this restriction, and you have a habit of playing themselves out when you don't want them for the lack of addressing them. Our constraints and our grave clothes can be role specific. You know, people say about people being put in positions of authority and whatever. I tell you what, you know what's inside of you when you're in that specific role. If you're not dealing with being accepted for who you are, or no one's allowed to challenge you or talk to you in that specific role, you get that all the time. You get people talking about you. You get people saying you didn't do it right. You get people all the time. And in that specific role, if you've not dealt with a grave clause, you can crush people. You're the one in authority. You can restrict them because of your own restrictions. And it comes out in that when you're in positions. I keep saying to our guys, we owe these people that we're trying to reach, we owe them that we would allow God, we would develop ourselves, train ourselves, get ourselves before God to be healed. We owe it to them because the enemy, and there is an enemy, he will let us rise and rise and rise with our grave clothes. And then when we're in a higher place or position, he presses the button. And not only do I'm affected, but I affect other people. And it's amazing, in specific roles it comes out in you. You don't think you struggle with anger because you're sitting in the pew and then you're put in a position. And someone presses that grave clothes or that button and you explode. Those with the fewest constraints will succeed. Will be great. Find their voice and enable others to find theirs. What are you doing here? What are you here for? What are you in this church for? What are you in this community for? This city for? This nation for? This world for? This time? What are you here for? You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. God has something specifically for you. Don't be robbed by the grave clothes. What are your talents and your gifts? What have you got to contribute to the kingdom? What have you got to bring to the table? What is your specific area of expertise that you bring to make this body of Christ wholesome? Don't let it be robbed because of the grave clothes. What's your dream? Well, what's the one thing that floats your boat, lights your fire? What's the big picture that God has put before you? I love God putting the big picture before us. He's like, I want you to do this. And then we go on a journey towards that big picture. And the thing I love about the Lord, he never tells you how to get there. Because I don't think any of us would get to it if he told us some of the direction we have to go. Ask Joseph, you're not going to bow down to me. Yeah, before you get thrown in the pit. Before you get thrown into prison, before you get lied about, before your own family reject you and throw you away. If Joseph would have been told that with that dream, he wasn't telling anybody. But what's your dream? What's the big picture that God has placed before you? That look, walk towards this, move towards this, because you're on a prophetic journey. And what I've learned, if we walk it out, he'll work it out. If we walk it out and go, look, Lord, I am the most restrictive person. I have more constraints. Lord, I wear overcoats over my grave clothes. And the Lord says, I know, but look, aim for that. And as you walk it out, I will work it out for you. What are you here for? The people in Israel, they were in a position where they had constraints. God sends Moses in. He says, come on, guys, we're moving all these grave clothes of Egypt. We're moving all these restraints and constraints that have been put on you. 430 years of grave clothes they had. Slaves. The great-grandfather were slaves. His father were slaves. Slave mentality, poor mentality. No absolute, no sense of hope, no sense of future. And Moses comes in and he says to them, guys, you can shake them off. You can shake them off. You don't have to stay in this place because God is making a way for us to come out of this place. Huge choice to be made. Pharaoh wasn't having any of it, believe me. The one who loves to play with the constraints and grave clothes of people doesn't like to let people go easy. But what I've realized that when people want to get out of bondage and slavery, God goes to war on their behalf. His people. God is for us. He's for your greatness. Finding your voice. Helping others find theirs. He's for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? God is on our side. He says to the people of Israel, I'm on your side. Listen to Moses. You're going out there. You go to the, you know the story, through the desert at the Red Sea, and they're restricted. How'd you get out of restrictions like this? How did they get out? You know what they said? We want to go back to slavery. We want to go back to the old clothes. We want to go back to the old way of doing life. The temptation is huge to go back. Lazarus, can you imagine him going back in the grave, into the tomb, wrapping himself back up again? Here, put them back on me. But there's always that temptation when we're faced with our constraints. What did they do? It says that in Exodus, it says that they cried out to God. Here's the first point of getting rid of our constraints and our grave clothes. Turn to God. Turn to him. Cry out to him. I don't have to be like this. I don't have to stay like this. I'm crying out to God. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a high tower, and the righteous run into him, and they are saved. They are clean. They are safe. They are secure. They run out grave places and grave clothes places into Jesus, into God, and they're saved. They turn to God. And God speaks to them and says, move. Moses, don't be crying out anymore. Start moving. Start putting action to where you want to go. Where am I going? Through the sea. But it's not moving, Lord. Move towards it. Move towards. Call to God and start moving towards addressing the grave clothes. Start addressing the restriction. And God says, he'll make a way. How am I going to get over it? He will make a way. But Lord, there's a sea there. Just keep moving towards it. God is attracted to movement. Peter, get out of the boat. All right. And God was attracted to his movement. Abraham, get up from this place and start walking. I will show you the land. He starts walking and God showed him the land. Because God is attracted to movement. You can sit in your grave clothes. Or you can get up and say, I'm going to start moving towards him. I'm just going to start moving towards the big picture. Do you know why he gives us the big picture? Because we're obsessed with our grave clothes. We're obsessed with our sin and our failures. As Christians, we've been told, repent, let go. We're always being focused on our sin and our failures. That's why he gives us big pictures. That's why he says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. So we move towards him. And as we're moving towards him, clothes fall off. Habits fall off. We address him. We look at him. Because he's saying, don't be looking at these. Look at me. And see what I will do. And then God says, move. And then he says, stand firm. I was like, how do you do that, Lord? You move and you stand firm at the one time. Believe that God will do it for us. Stand firm that God is committed to making me into the image of Jesus so that this world can see Jesus. That his church can be a bit brighter, more freer with me being free. And God says that the enemy you see today, Moses, you won't see anymore because I will fight on your behalf. God is for you and me. So here's the question. What could you become if you identify your greatest strength and remove your worst constraint? What could you become if you could identify the greatness that God has put in you and remove your worst constraint? In Thessalonians 5, it says that his job, the work of the Holy Spirit, is to sanctify us. It's to change us. It's to challenge those areas. It's to change those areas. It's to give us the strength and the power to overcome. To, when we feel pressed, knocked down, that there's still room to get up and strength to get up. Then we feel that hell is coming against us. That we still believe and still know that it will not separate us from the love of God. His job is, his role is to challenge us and to change us. Because I tell you what, he's not come to give us coping mechanisms and skills. He has come to bring the new. He has come that the new would overrule, outperform the old. He's come so that we would have the very life of Christ living in us and through us. Do you know what? I ceased a couple of months only ago. I ceased trying to be a Christian. Honestly, it is a pain. But I've said, Lord, will you live your life, the very life of Christ through me? I'm not going to focus on, don't look through the hole in the fence. I'm going to say no, no, no. I'm going to say no to things. I'm going to say no to sin and no to all this, no to to the world. I'm going to say no to looking at girls. I'm going to say no to wanting boys. We've come into a culture of saying no, no. And it's like living the life of Christ and letting the life of Christ live through us. It's just saying yes. And if we say yes to the things of God, we don't ever have to deal with all the no's. But we're obsessed with the no's. I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. I won't, I won't, I won't. And yet we're looking through the hole. I want to become, I want to become, I want to be this, I want to be this. And we're obsessed with all of that. When we say yes, Lord, I'm open to you moving my life. I'm open. I want to say yes to worship. I want to say yes to service. I want to say yes to having a somewhat of a quality prayer life. I want to say yes to reaching out to other people. I want to say yes to reaching the poor. And again, you stop doing all the yes. You have no time for the no's. But we created a culture in the church that we're obsessed with the no. Let's pray. Father, I want to say that I love you, Lord. I battled when I first became a Christian with giving up smoking cigarettes. I gave up smoking drugs in an instant. And I thought it was really hard. And one day I was listening to a song. He Touched Me was called an old, old song. And oh, what joy filled my heart. Something happened, this I know. He touched me. And I got up at my friend's house and said, you know, I'll never touch a cigarette again. I never did, thank God. I thought that was hard. But when God started to deal with my heart, my grave clothes, I really knew what hard was. Because the shell, the outward, yeah, it's hard. But I know that the things that we hold close to us, that we've come comfortable with, that we've learned how to cope, we've learned how to dress her up, and God starts putting his finger on and you're like, oh, leave me alone. But he's after that within you. Because he knows the future. And he knows what constraints he doesn't want on you. And if he's touching it over these weeks, it's because he wants to set us free. He doesn't want to torment us. He doesn't want to just bring her up for the sake of bringing her up. But if he brings it up, it's because he wants to do something about it. And he's able. And he does a great job. So Lord, I thank you for every person, every face that was looking at me. Every ear that was listening. I thank you for every life that is represented. I thank you, Lord, for every dream that's in every heart. I pray, Father God, this night, that Lord God, that you would just speak to us, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and move amongst us, and that the processes of God would engineer freedom and liberty. It would engineer, Lord God, potential and unlimited possibilities. That, Father, no matter what's in front of us as individuals, Father God, no matter what constraint says you're hemmed in, that the sea is there and the enemy, the Egyptians, is closing in. That, Lord God, that no matter how restricted it is, Lord, that, Lord, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will carry it out to completion. I'm confident of this, Lord God, that we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm confident of this, O God, that nothing will separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I'm convinced that you are committed to changing us into the image of your Son, Jesus. So Lord, I ask for strength. I ask for wisdom for people in this room. I ask for insight. I ask for understanding of who they are, how they tick. And what lids those grave clothes really put on us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you came to set the captive free. And I thank you that you came to call people out to tombs. And I thank you that you came to take the restrictions off your people. And I thank you, Lord God, is for freedom. That you came, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you came to destroy the works of the devil. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to heal minds and hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to heal bodies. I thank you, Lord, that you have created a future for us even before the foundations of this world, Lord God. I thank you that you have a work prepared in advance for us. And I ask that you would touch us, heal us, free us, liberate us for your glory. Amen.